This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to our session for Ulum al-Sunnah. This is our introduction to this subject. And this subject is unlike any other subject. It is very unique because you don't have it in any other religion. It's only in Islam. In Islam, we have to study the narrations of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's what we will talk about in this subject. It continues and completes the other subject, which is the history of Islam, the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, in that subject, we deal with the historical incidents, what happened at the time of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And here, we talk about the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will not find this in any other religion. No other religion studied the sayings of their prophet or messenger. While here, in this subject, we have the scholars who made strict conditions how they accept the narrations of the messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What criteria should fit and what criteria should be accepted and what hadith should be rejected according to the narrators. And that's why we have some scholars like Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah. He said, "Al-isnadu min ad-din. Lawla al-isnad laqala man sha' ma sha'." The isnad, the chain of narrators, it is part of the religion. You have to study it. You have to know, is this chain accepted or not? Otherwise, anyone would say this is the sunnah or this is from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they will take it. How do you verify this was said by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam or not? We have this in Islam. While other religions, they say this is the saying of Isa alayhi salam or this is the saying of Musa, but there is no proof that he said it. How can you verify it? In Islam, we have this. So in this subject, we will study the ahadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In the book, in page 56, the sunnah is defined. This is the book, a textbook of hadith studies. On page 56, linguistically, the sunnah means al-tariq al-mu'abbad, the trodden way. That's the meaning of the sunnah. So basically, linguistically, you could use the sunnah for a good meaning or a bad meaning as well. So it's basically the way. This is my way. Sometimes your way could be wrong. So you could still use the sunnah as a linguistic meaning for it. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said many times, Sunnat Allah. Sunnat Allah التي قد خلت من قبل. Sunnat Allah التي قد خلت في عباده. So it was mentioned several times in the Quran. And it means basically the way of Allah. This is how the matters happen. Sunnat Allah. So you could say about the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of Allah, and it is used in the Quran. So linguistically, sunnah does not mean automatically the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It rather means the trodden way. It means the way, basically, whether it is good or bad. Another meaning for the sunnah is to start something, to initiate something. Like in Arabic, we say, sanna qanunan, means he legislated a statute or a ruling. This is also called sunnah. Sanna qanunan, because he started this. And we have this similar meaning in the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Man sanna sunnatan hasana. Whoever started a sunnah. Even though it's a sunnah from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he's the first one to do it. So to initiate something, to start something. This is again another meaning for the sunnah. Also to clarify. This is another meaning for sunnah. So you notice in Arabic we have linguistically several meanings for this word, for the sunnah. However, in hadith terminology we have a different usage for the sunnah. And again in the book, page 58, we have the definition of the sunnah according to hadith terminology. How scholars use the sunnah in different meanings. We have scholars of fiqh, we have scholars of hadith, we have scholars of aqidah. Each one used the sunnah for a different meaning. Let me ask you this. Now in fiqh, If you are praying and someone told you this is sunnah, what does it mean, this is sunnah in prayer? What does it mean? No one knows? If you tell someone,
optional,
exactly, means you don't have to do it. While in hadith, it is different. What about aqidah? When you say Ahlus Sunnah, what does that mean? The people of the optional opinions? What does it mean in aqidah? It is different. So we have different usage for the sunnah according to the scholars. First, in fiqh, sunnah means the optional deed, what you will be rewarded for doing it and will not be punished for not doing it. That's the meaning of sunnah in fiqh. We have wajib, mandatory, we have allowed, mubah, we have disliked, makruh, and we have recommended, which is the sunnah, optional. So that's the usage of the sunnah in the fiqh. We have the sunnah in aqidah. The sunnah in aqidah means the guidance of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the fundamentals of the religion. What's the proof that this is the definition of sunnah in aqidah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man raghiba an sunnati falaysa minni." Whoever abandoned my sunnah, he's not one of me, of my nation. He's not a follower for me. Now you cannot say if someone left something recommended in the prayer, he's not a follower to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So definitely there is another meaning for what the Prophet ﷺ said. And that's the usage of the sunnah in aqidah. So we have different definition in fiqh than aqidah, than hadith. Scholars of hadith, they meant by the sunnah all what was narrated from the Messenger ﷺ, whether it is an action, basically a deed, or a saying, or approval, or a description. So the scholars of hadith define the sunnah by four things. There are four things: actions or deeds, sayings of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, approvals, tacit approvals, and the description of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Example for saying, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says something and you do it, this is sunnah. It's not necessarily done by the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he recommended doing it. He said to do it. So this is a saying of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we say this is sunnah. Or action. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to pray 2 rak'ah before subh prayer. Or he used to sleep. He used to wake up. This is sunnah. And it is an action. Tacit approval. He saw one of the companions doing something, and he did not say anything. This is an approval for his deed. Because if it was not sunnah, he would have changed that, or he would have said something about it, or he would have told the companion not to do it. Once we know that there is a deed was done in front of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he did not say anything about it, this is approval. What's the example? The example is the sunnah, to perform the sunnah of the subh prayer after the obligatory prayer. We know that it's recommended to pray the sunnah before the subh prayer. But what if you woke up late and you could not pray the sunnah and you prayed the fard, the obligatory prayer directly with the jama'ah? Then you prayed the sunnah. Is that permissible? Yes, it is permissible. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ saw one of the companions praying after the subh prayer. And he asked him, "What are you praying?" Because we know it's disliked to pray after the subh prayer. He told him, "O Messenger of Allah, I did not pray the sunnah before the prayer, so I'm praying it now." Prophet ﷺ did not tell him anything. If it was wrong, if it was not right, the Prophet ﷺ would have told him, "Don't do it." Once the Prophet ﷺ approved it, he said nothing about it, then it is sunnah. We say it is sunnah. Or a description. The description of the Messenger ﷺ. He was not tall or short. He was not very big. He had black beard. All these are descriptions of the Messenger ﷺ. So anything related to the Messenger ﷺ, it is sunnah. This is according to the hadith. So you need to know, because again, the sunnah has different meanings according to the scholars of fiqh, according to the scholars of aqidah, according to the scholars of hadith. So these are the the meanings of the sunnah, and it is in the book, page 58. Now, We have the divisions of the Sunnah. Whenever the Prophet ﷺ wanted to convey something, whether it is by saying or by deeds. So we have sayings of the Messenger ﷺ and we have the actions of the Messenger ﷺ. We have the verbal wahi. This is the first division, the verbal wahi. What do we mean by verbal wahi? The Quran. Is the Quran from the Messenger ﷺ or it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is from Allah, right? But who conveyed the Quran? The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verbally. So it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Jibreel to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is verbal wahi. Why do we say it could be sunnah also, even though it is from Allah? Because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the one who conveyed this wahi. So it is a verbal wahi. Then we have wahi by meaning, which means it is from Allah, but not literally, not the exact same wording. It is from Allah, but not literally. This is again wahi. Why it is wahi? Now, if the Prophet ﷺ gave the ruling about something which we don't find in the Quran, why do we still say it is wahi? Why do we still say it is wahi? What does Allah say? Exactly. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not speak out of his desire. It is wahi. It is a revelation. So whatever the Prophet ﷺ say, even if it's not Quran, it's still wahi. Even though the wording themselves are not, these words are not from Allah literally, but the wahi itself, the meaning is from Allah. Do we have an example? Yes, we have an example. A man came to the Messenger ﷺ during Hajj, while he is in the cloth of Ihram. And he asked the Messenger ﷺ about the perfume, because he had perfume and he has his upper towel with perfume. What does he do? The Prophet ﷺ did not tell him anything. After the wahi came, the Prophet ﷺ told him to remove the trace of, to basically wash himself. And then he continues performing the Hajj regularly. Now, was this from the Messenger ﷺ or it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is from Allah. So it is wahi. Now sometimes the Prophet ﷺ did not wait. He directly said something. Again, because he had the knowledge. All what he says is not from himself, but it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another example, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, when he wanted to write everything the Prophet ﷺ says, some companions told him, how come you write everything? Maybe the Prophet ﷺ said something while he is joking, maybe he did not mean it. So Abdullah ibn Amr asked the Messenger ﷺ about it, and the Messenger ﷺ told him, write everything, for I don't speak except the truth. Everything I say is correct. So this is the second type, which is wahi. Why it is wahi? Because he meant with what he's saying to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have two divisions of wahi: verbal wahi, literally, which is the Quran, and the wahi by meaning, which is from Allah, but the wording is from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said without the intention of conveying the message of Allah. Like what? We say the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a human being. He is a human being. So sometimes he says some things that are not really wahi. Like he wants to drink water. The amount of water he drinks, he wants to relieve himself. The place where he goes, this is not necessarily wahi. So this is another division. Now the first thing, whatever the Prophet ﷺ wanted to convey from Allah, like he's asked about a ruling. He cannot say something from himself about a ruling in Islam. It has to be wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But other things, the worldly matters, these are not wahi, because he did not mean to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is talking as a human being. So we have basically two divisions. The first one, what is meant to be wahi, what he wanted to convey as wahi, which is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then we have the second division, which is not wahi, things that he said from himself. Now we come to a very important issue, which is the authority of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What makes the sunnah a source of rulings in Islam? What makes it valid as a source of legislation in Islam? Or, in another term, what's the evidential weight of the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Is it a source of Islam or not?
Yes.
It is. What makes it a source of Islam? We say that the sunnah is the second source of Islam. What's the first source? The Quran. The Quran is the first source. And then comes what? The sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we have the Quran and we have the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now we come to the evidences that makes the sunnah a second source of Islam. Now all Muslims agree to follow the book of Allah. But some of them, some deviant people, they say we don't have to follow the sunnah. What do you tell those people? What do you tell them if they said we have to follow only the Quran? You quote to them many ahadith from the Messenger ﷺ, but they tell you we don't even consider these valid evidences, so you need to give us something from the Quran. What can you tell me as an evidence for
several ayat?
Several ayat. Could you give me one? Exactly. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. This is in Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling those people who claim that they love the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah is telling them, say, if you love Allah, follow me, means follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For if you do that, Allah will love you and will forgive your sins. That means we have to follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam if we wanted Allah to love us. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would tell them, if you love Allah, follow the book of Allah. But he told them to follow the Messenger of Allah, the Prophet ﷺ. We have very important ayah in the Quran, which many people overlook. It is in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 157. This ayah is very important. Allah says in this ayah, الَّذِينَ يَتَّبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا عِنْدَهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثَ وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِصْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ فَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِهِ وَعَزَّرُوهُ وَنَصَرُوهُ وَاتَّبَعُوا النُّورَ الَّذِي أُنْزِلَ مَعَهُ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. Those who follow the Messenger, the Prophet, the unlettered, whom they find written with them in the Torah, the Gospel. Now comes the point of the evidence. Enjoins good and forbids evil. Makes lawful to them what is good and makes unlawful to them what is evil. That's the point of the evidence. It's not enough sometimes to quote the ayah. You tell him this is the evidence. Okay, what do you understand from the ayah? You have to make it clear. Now in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the people that the Prophet ﷺ has the right to make things lawful and unlawful. This by itself is an evidence that the sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ is a source of legislation by itself. Because the Prophet ﷺ, by the leave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, has the right to legislate, to make things lawful and unlawful. يُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. So that's the mission of the Prophet ﷺ, that's his job. To make things lawful and unlawful. So it's not only the Quran, it is also the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is one example, one evidence. Another example in Surah At-Tawbah, in the ayah 29, قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Fight those who don't believe in Allah and the final day, and do not forbid what Allah and His Messenger forbid. So he did not say what Allah forbid. He said what Allah and His Messenger forbid.
So whatever the Messenger ﷺ forbids, it's as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forbidding. It's the same. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the Prophet ﷺ the authority to forbid or allow. قَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَلَا بِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَلَا يُحَرِّمُونَ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَلَا يَدِينُونَ دِينَ الْحَقِّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حَتَّى يُعْطُوا الْجِزْيَةَ عَنْ يَدٍ وَهُمْ صَاغِرُونَ. This is ayah number 29 in Surah At-Tawbah. Another example. وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْضَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ. And if Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم had made up about us some false sayings, what will happen? لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْوَتِينِ. He will die. We will not give him any chance to live. He will die. So the point at the beginning, if, which means he did not. Because if he will make up some false things, what will happen? We will cause him to die right away. That means he did not do that. That means all these things are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means the sunnah has the authority as the Quran. Now, we have many other ayat. وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. Whatever the Messenger ﷺ has given you, then take it. So he did not say only what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you, but also what the Prophet ﷺ has given you. And what Babur mentioned also, say, if you love Allah, then follow me, for Allah will love you and forgive your sins. There are many ayat. Your job is to know these ayat, to have them ready whenever someone asks a question. Because you may be asked by a non-Muslim or even by some Muslims who tend to say that it's only the Quran. We don't need anything but the Quran. Now, you have these ayat, right? What about the suspicions around the sunnah? Because it's important to know what others are saying. One ayah, and again, it is from the Quran. مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. This is in Surah Al-An'am. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَا فَرَّطْنَا فِي الْكِتَابِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. We have not neglected in the registered or in the book anything. Which means everything is mentioned in the Quran. So if you tell me you have to follow the sunnah, I would tell you, I don't need to. Everything is in the Quran. That's what many people say. So what do you say about this suspicion? How can you answer? Because it's an ayah from the Quran, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you that nothing is left or nothing is neglected. Everything is mentioned in the register. Isn't this ayah an evidence that we don't need the sunnah, we need only the Quran, because everything is in the Quran? The Quran says, go to the sunnah. Where? Okay, are the ayat sufficient to answer this ayah? Do you mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not really mean nothing is neglected? How can you answer? You need to have a strong answer. Another ayah, we have revealed to you the book as a clarification for everything. وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. So it is a clarification for everything. So what do you say? It clarifies everything. So what's the need for the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Another ayah. Indeed, we have revealed the dhikr. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. What's the point from this ayah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to protect the dhikr, which is the Quran. That's why we have to take the Quran. But he did not promise to protect the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we don't have to take the sunnah. What do you think? How can you answer? Yes.
Ayat says, isn't that itself a clarification to follow the sunnah, since in the Quran it says to follow the Quran?
Exactly. Now the Quran, in its clarification, it says to follow the sunnah. Right? And the same thing about the first ayah. We did not neglect anything in the register. Nothing is neglected, nothing is left over. So if you say there is nothing neglected in the Quran, that implies the sunnah as well. Otherwise, this ayah is incorrect. Because when you say every single detail is mentioned in the Quran, then what do you say about the rak'ah, the number of the rak'ah of the prayer? Tell me, where do you find in the Quran that the dhuhr prayer is 4 rak'ah, that the zakah, the nisab of the zakah is 85 grams of gold or 595 grams of silver, you have to pay 2.5%? Tell me, where do you find this in the Quran? So that means that's not the exact meaning of the ayah. Yes, the guidelines are there in the Quran, and one of the guidelines is what? To follow the sunnah. So that makes the sunnah valid as a source of Islam. So it is important to understand these ayat. What do you say about them? What's the interpretation, the correct interpretation for these ayat? Again, the second ayah, we have revealed to you the book as a clarification. The book means the Quran, and what clarifies the Quran? The sunnah. Because Allah is telling the Prophet ﷺ, we revealed to you. So your job is what? To clarify. To clarify. How you clarify? By the sunnah. By the sunnah. That's what the other ayah says. We have revealed to you the dhikr in order for you to explain to the people what was revealed to them. So the sunnah, the job of the sunnah is to clarify the Quran. Now the last ayah, we revealed the dhikr and we will protect it. Dhikr actually means the Quran and the sunnah. You cannot say dhikr means only the Quran. Even the sunnah is protected, because the sunnah itself is dhikr, because it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is wahi. Another suspicion. What do you say about the saying of the Prophet ﷺ himself when he commanded the companions not to write down his ahadith? Means it's not a source of Islam. Otherwise, he would have commanded them to write it down. He asked them to write the Quran. This means that the Quran is the source of Islam, not the Sunnah. What do you say about this? Yes.
During the early days.
What do you mean? The late days, what happened?
Because I think they weren't sure about whether it's Quran or Sunnah.
They weren't sure about the Quran, exactly. At the beginning of Islam, the Prophet ﷺ did not want the companions to mix between the Quran and the Sunnah. That's why he asked them not to write it. This hadith is not general about all the time. Because we find later on that many companions, they wrote the hadith of the Messenger ﷺ. Just like the example I gave about Abdullah bin Amr. He used to write the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was asked, why you write this? Maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying something which is not an evidence. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, write everything. I do not speak except the truth. I don't say anything but the truth. So this is not at all the times. It was only at the beginning. Because the Prophet ﷺ did not want the companions to mix between the Quran and the Sunnah. It is important for you to read these, what scholars said about the Sunnah of the Messenger ﷺ. Now, one simple answer for everybody who says that the Quran is the only source of Islam. Who brought the Quran? Who brought the Quran? The Prophet ﷺ. You accept the Quran, but you don't accept from the one who brought it? That does not make sense. The Prophet ﷺ brought the Quran. He conveyed the Quran, and he conveyed the Sunnah as well. One of the best books actually written about this subject is The Authority and Importance of the Sunnah. This is a very good book in English. It's one of the recommended resources for this subject. I encourage you to purchase this book and to read it. It's very good. It is a very good book. There are many other books in Arabic. I have it, like Hujjiyat al-Sunnah. This is another book, but it's in Arabic. And there is another book also in Arabic, Difa' an al-Sunnah, Defense Against the Offenders of the Sunnah. But in English, this book is available from Dar al-Bashir. You should get it. It is important. Because again, as I told you, there are some people who are Muslims. You may give a talk and you quote a hadith and they ask you, where do you find this in the Quran? You don't have to find it in the Quran. Actually, Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, he said, the sunnah does not need the Quran. The Quran needs the sunnah. Because the sunnah clarifies the Quran, while the sunnah by itself is clarified. So we do not need the Quran. But we need the sunnah more. So according to the Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, they are all in the same level, if not the sunnah, if not higher than the Quran. But the majority of scholars said Quran comes first and then the sunnah. So we accept them both. Both of them are sources of legislation in Islam. Both of them have the authority. Yes. The authority and importance of the sunnah. The authority and importance of the sunnah. Jamal Zarabuzu. This is printed by Dar al-Bashir. This is one of the books. It's in English and it's very good. The other books, they are written in Arabic. With this, inshallah, we will have only assignment left for you. You have to read the introduction of the book from page 1 to 10. The book, we have a textbook on hadith studies. And answer the following. You have a question, you need to answer. This is the book. Usul al-Sunnah and Usul al-Fiqh overlap to some extent. What's the explanation for this statement? Usul al-Fiqh and Usul al-Sunnah overlap to some extent. What's the similarity? Basically, this is the meaning of the question. What's the similarity between Usul al-Fiqh and Usul al-Sunnah? And also, according to the author, again, from page 1 to 10, you will find the answer. What's the meaning of riwayah and diraya? This will be the introduction, and inshallah, from tomorrow on, you bring the book with you, the book of hadith. With this, we will conclude this session. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى صحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.